Most people think, you know, it's sometimes they're selfish in the fact they're praying for what they want. But most people would say this is the time where I could probably spend the most time. Because as I'm considering praying for my family and praying for my church and praying for my nation and praying for the world, that's going to take a lot longer than 5 minutes. But these are some ideas, things that have helped me over the past. It's some scriptural things that helps me understand how to help intercede. Once again, I encourage you to do this based off of being led by the Holy Spirit of God. But here's some verses. First, you see up on the board, it's Ephesians 6:18. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now, in Ephesians chapter 6, we're reminded that we have just put on the full armor of God. We are preparing for battle. We're preparing for war. And at the end of that, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching, there's that word again, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication, and those next three words, for all saints. So when we come and you say, well, where in the Bible does it say we should pray for our church family? I think that's pretty obvious. But this says that we should pray for all saints unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Here's a couple things. A few Sunday nights ago, we preached about intercession, but here's a couple reminders. Basically, intercession is prayer offered on behalf of another. When the prayer warrior intercedes, he forgets his own personal needs and focuses all of his faith and his prayer attention on others. To intercede is to mediate, is to stand between a person in need and an almighty God and praying that God will intervene. Also, this prayer person will come to know that God, pray that people will come to know God as their personal Savior. One preacher put it this way, when we pray for others, we do not stand with an outstretched hand hoping to receive something for ourselves. We stand at God's side, working together with him in the task of redeeming others and interceding for others. It is that we're working together with the Lord. We're going to God saying, God, what can I do to help this situation? God, I want to fight a spiritual battle. I want to intercede here. There's an issue. There's a problem. Lord, make me available. Cool thing about intercession is that anybody can do it. Some preach, some teach, some sing publicly by themselves. Not everybody gets that opportunity, but all can pray. And there are people that grieve because they're denied the service of a public ministry or wanting not able to go to a mission field. But through faithful intercession, they can accomplish just as much and reap as full of reward as though they have been the person on the field or the person that has a public ministry. Because prayer means you have a part of that. Prayer must be broad in its scope. It must plead for others. Intercession for others is the hallmark of all true prayer. Prayer is the soul of man stirred to plead with God for men. Intercession is much more than just merely praying for someone else. Interceding is engaging in an actual battle. Look what it says in 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy chapter number 2, it says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for, what's that next two words? All men. So when we're talking about a prayer list, you say, where in the Bible does it say I should pray for my family? Once again, that's an obvious thing, but it's saying for all men. Then it continues on for kings and for all that are in authority. So it takes it a step farther. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And let's look at one more passage of scripture. Let's go to Luke chapter number 18. Luke chapter number 18. I think that there was a number of weeks ago that I looked at this passage of scripture and preached at this. But at the same time, I think it's an important thing because many times people come to the spot and say, Pastor, I've been praying for a long time. Why should I continue on praying? And the Lord teaches us that. The Lord teaches us the benefit of continuing on in our prayers. I've heard countless stories of individuals prayed for someone to get saved, and they prayed year after year after year, and then you hear the testimony, you know, that person finally got saved. I remember the testimony of Bruce Fry. He had came, and we went to a place and heard Bruce Fry here recently, and he gave that testimony. My brother prayed for me for years upon years, and, you know, he got saved. Now he's praying for another brother that they have that does not know Christ. And here in Luke chapter 18, Jesus teaches a parable here, and it's the importance of continuing on in your prayer time and praying without ceasing. Look what it says in Luke chapter 18. We're not going to take time to go over all of it, but there's some important things I like to hit. Luke 18, verse number 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard men, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she weary me. So you get the picture here. It's an unjust judge, and you got a widow lady that's coming over and over and over. Verse number 6, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And he shall not avenge his own, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. So you get the idea in the picture here that the children of God are someone who will cry out to him day and night and continually, even though it says he bear long with him. Remember, God is the one that knows all. God is the one that can take all things and work them together for good. God is the one that is trying to change us. And as we continually pray, and even praying for the same things, praying for a nation, praying for needs, praying for salvation, praying for health, as we pray for these things, he says that even though God may bear long, he will hear and answer your prayers. Verse number 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Do you have the faith to continue on praying? And over in the Bible, there was people who prayed and they kept on coming to God, but they didn't always get their prayers answered. Think about the Apostle Paul. He went to God, it says over and over about that thorn in the flesh, and what was the response? My grace is sufficient for thee. Paul learned something there. God taught him something. God continued to teach him something about that with that thorn in the flesh. I think about Elijah, and he had to go, and what did he do when he prayed for the rain? He prayed 7 different times before the rain ever came. I think about Daniel in the Old Testament, how it was 21 days. He had asked God something, but he continued to pray and fast for those 21 days because there was a spiritual battle going on in the spiritual realm that had heeded the prayers. I think about the story about Peter being in jail and that Peter was there. And what were they doing at the house of John Mark's mom? They were praying. What were they doing? They continued and prayed and continued and prayed. They didn't even expect the answer to be when Peter was knocking on the door. Even Jesus himself prayed three different times in the garden. Was that because Jesus was doing something? No, it wasn't. But it was something that he continually brought to the Father. I want to encourage you tonight. I know sometimes it might not seem worth it, and sometimes it might not seem like it's making a difference, but prayer changes things, prayer changes circumstances, and most importantly, prayer changes us. The Bible says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall pray, if we shall reap if we faint not. So I like to help you develop a little bit of a prayer list for your intercession time. A little bit of a prayer list for the time that you go interceding. And if you like to write some of these things down, I have the main topics here. This is not my extensive prayer list, but these are some of the main topics that I have on my intercession part of my prayer list. The first thing is pray for your family. Now, interceding for your family. This is one that somebody would say, well, can you show me a spot in the Bible where it says you have to pray specifically for your family? And I would tell you that's crazy to ask that because, you know, we're supposed to pray for our family. I even use this one verse up here. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And I think about it. What did Jesus do? Jesus told Peter, he prayed for him. He said, Satan hath desired to sift you, but I've prayed for you. You know, he prayed for us, and he prayed for us in John chapter 17. He prayed for those that were his, and we should be praying for our families. And so underneath praying for your families, I have, and I know this is not applicable to everybody, so, but first one I have underneath that list, I pray for your mate. Pray for your mate. And underneath that, I have some of the things I have that I pray for my wife, and things I think wouldn't be a bad thing to consider for her to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. That is not because you're saying, oh, she's wicked. No, I'm telling you that being filled with the Holy Spirit of God is what God wants us to do, but it's something that we should desire. Pray for wisdom. Pray for growth and grace and knowledge of the Lord. Pray for health. Pray for the roles that mate has. If it's for my wife, mother, daughter, friend, pastor's wife. For your husband, it would be husband, you know, maybe if it's a father. Maybe it's a role at work. Maybe it's a role at church. Spiritual ministries. At the end, it says something like that God would use them today and for the rest of their life for his glory. That's the request that I have. Those are things I'd like to pray for my wife. And there is more, and I'm not going to get in, but these are things that you can say every day you go to before, Lord, I'm going on behalf of my wife. Lord, it's hard to live in this day and time, and it's hard to be a godly lady with all the influences of this world that's around you. It's hard to this and this. God, please help her in this area. Please, what you're doing is you're interceding. You're fighting a spiritual battle on behalf of your wife, and pray for your children. Similar things, being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, wisdom, growth, health. For my kids, I have finances for college. For my kids, I have for future wives. Man, they need a lot of help, don't they? Can you imagine what that's? I tell people tell me, Andrew looks like me, Christian looks like me. I tell them, I feel bad for their future wife because they're going to have to look at them for the rest of their life. But, you know, if that's what God wants them to do, and that's great. You know, pray for their roles as a son, as a brother, as friends, as a friend. Pray for their roles as grandchildren. You know, these are areas that God has given them, and they can slack off on these areas. These are things that they cannot maybe take seriously, and I can go to the Lord and say, Lord, help them, encourage them in their walk. And you know what I'm doing? I'm fighting for them and fighting on behalf of them, but I am also reminding myself that when I see them and I interact with them that day, I spent time alone with God praying for them. So I'm going to encourage them in their walk with it about being a good brother, about being a good son, about being their spiritual ministries that they may have. I'm going to be ready to, you know, I prayed for you today. I'm going to tell them I prayed for them that day, and I'm going to have the opportunity to say, you know, I'm praying that God bring you the right wife someday, or that God provide for your college, and that God does this. Next one underneath your mates, your children, your extended family. You know, I don't have grandchildren, at least not yet. So, and it's a long ways off, I'm sure. But, you know, you pray for your grandchildren. I on my list, I have my mom and my dad, and there's certain needs that are there, both, you know, spiritually and physically and financially. I have my little brother that's there, junior, and then I have another brother, an older brother. He's married. I have a niece. You know, he has a daughter that's going to get married someday, and you know, there's needs in every one of their lives. And so I go to the Lord, and I don't spend a lot of time there, but I pray for them. I pray for my sister, and who she's married to, and then she has two girls also. And you know, these are things that I pray for, my extended family. And then outside of that, I also have my wife's side of the family, and I pray for my mom and dad on that side, and I pray for her sister and her husband, and I pray for my niece and nephew, and I pray for their mates, and I pray for their children. You know, some of those requests are for salvation decisions. Some of those requests are for their backslidden. Some of those requests are for the fact that God would give me influence in their lives to help them to see who God is and the importance of God. These are things that we can pray for. And you know, once again, we say an average of 5 minutes, but how many of us can see that this is going to take longer than 5 minutes when we're interceding for somebody? But we are fighting on behalf of an individual. We're going before the Lord. We're fighting a spiritual battle here, and we're asking God to use us. Next thing, how to pray for your church. There it goes again, doesn't it? How to pray for your church. Is Ephesians 6:18 talks about praying for all the saints. I think it's important that you pray for your church family. Ephesians 6:18 talks about how we can pray for all saints, and it's an important thing that God put inside His Word. So how do you pray for your church family? He said, Pastor, you know, we don't have a huge church. Can you imagine if we had a lot bigger church? Yeah, it would be hard to pray for everybody. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. So all those different things, we come in there, and how do we pray for our church family? On the first list there, I have, go ahead and take your Bible to Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1. And so from this, I've looked, and as when I was beginning to develop how to pray for another Christian, I looked at the example that Paul gave about people that he heard about in the church of Colossae. And inside this church, he said he continually remembered them, and then he had some special requests for them. At the beginning of my ministry, when people would ask, how can I pray for you? I tell them to go to Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, because these are things that I would like for people to pray for me about. Do I still feel that way? Yes, but there's other things also. I think that, and when you're praying for your church family, I think you should pray for your pastor. I think it's important, and I think it's important we pray for each other. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 9, it says, and this I pray, it's Philippians. Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, heard what? And you look at verses 1 through 8, it talks about those that were saved and those and the love that they had for the Lord and the love that they had for other believers. Do not cease to pray for you. So this is a continual thing. Now, Paul had many churches that he began, but you heard and you saw over and over in the scriptures, he says, I pray for you. I pray for you without ceasing. It is a continual prayer over and over for them. And look at some of the ways he prayed for them. He says, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with knowledge. And look at some of these requests. That you be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That you know God's will and that you would have a good understanding of it. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. That you would please God. Being fruitful in every good work. That God would bless the labors. And increasing in the knowledge of God. That you're continually increasing in the knowledge of who God is. And you're growing in your relationship. That's where the growth stage comes from. Strengthen with all might. And I think this talks about health here, having the strength to do the ministry and being strengthened to do what God has called you to do according to His glorious power, not the power that humans have to offer, but the power that God has to offer. God, you strengthen Him according to your plans and according to your might unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, that we be patient, that we be long suffering, but we do it with joy. I mean, that's a great request. Those are some great things to look at. So I don't know how to pray for somebody. There's some great ways. I think you should pray for your pastor. I think you pray for him regularly. I think you pray for him every day. It still humbles me when someone comes up to me and says, I pray for you every day. One of my extended family members told me that the other day. When I talked to him on the phone, he says, you know, I pray for you and your family every day. And my mouth kind of dropped open. I would never thought that from that individual. And I says, you know what? I pray for you often also. And, I want to encourage you, pray for others. Pray for your pastor. Pray for the church leadership. And now, you say, what's church leadership? You know, people that teach Sunday school classes. Brother Jim, if you're in the choir, you know, song leaders, the deacons of the church, their wives, you pray for their families. You know, pray for those things. I think you should pray for families and individuals in our church. So how in the world can I do that? Well, once again, how do you think Apostle Paul did it? You think Apostle Paul remembered every single person every day and spent 5 minutes praying for them? Probably not. But they would go over, as he was brought to remembrance, he may have had lists too. What I do with my prayer list when I'm doing what I'm supposed to, I read over every single church family, every single church name. I have a list with the kids' names on it. I even have lists with the bus kids' names on it. And I just read over those. And then I have it divided up into 7 different things that I spend an extended amount of time for each one of those that are 7. So, you know, you got the A's, you got the B's, and you got the C's all together inside this group. And then you spend time with that. And that's Monday's list, and then Tuesday's list, and Wednesday's list. And sometimes I had to divide up into 6 instead of 7 because my Sundays are pretty rushed. And I think it's good to have the bus kids on there, or the kids, the teenagers are on there that might not be on there. You had the regular attenders on there. And I have a spot on there that talks about people that used to come to the church, that I wish they still came to the church. You still pray for them? Yes, maybe not as regularly as I would pray for somebody. I feel like I am led by the Holy Spirit of God in the prayer list that I've created, but it's always updating and always changing. That's, you're not going to know until you start doing it. So what other things should we pray for a church that we see people saved? And that's something we should pray for our church, that we do our part in the Great Commission, that we see people saved, discipled, and baptized and discipled. I pray that someone be called out of our church in a full-time ministry. I pray for the ministries of the church. You go to your Wednesday night bulletin, it has the ministries of the church on here. And if you didn't notice, they're red, white, and blue today. Isn't that kind of neat? I don't know if you got a red one, I don't know if you got a blue one, or if you got a white one. You know, they're red, white, and blue today. But on this, it has the ministries of the church. It also has a prayer list of people there. And if you want to pray for those people, that's great and wonderful. It has on the back here, it has missionaries on the back. It has full-time college students on there, too. Can you pray for all those every single day? Not within that hour and do all of it, but you can break it up as the Lord leads you. If you had the time, then do it. Pray for all of those things. Another thing, you know, pray for our missionaries. Pray for revival. You know, so these are just things to help you. You pray for your family. You pray for your church. Another thing is pray for your country. There it goes again. Pray for your country. And where you see that in 1 Timothy chapter number 2, we go back to that, and you talked about how pray for our leaders, pray for kings, and so how do you pray for your country? Well, one of the things, you pray for your leaders, and you're going to pray for every member of Congress? Probably not. But you, on the front of your bulletin, they have a government official. You can get some government officials. You can pick one a month. It might take time where you say, okay, I want to pray for, you know, government officials, and have a different one every single day. However you want, however the Lord leads you. It might be local. It might be state level. It might be federal level. Another thing is pray for churches in our country. If we're going to ever see revival, a national revival, it's going to come through the churches. It's not going to come at the White House. Now, they can get right, obviously, but it's going to pray for our leaders, pray for our churches. 2 Chronicles 7:14, we talked about on Sunday morning, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. And remember, that is a promise to the nation of Israel, but it's applicable. Pray for the lost people in America. That's one of the greatest ways we're going to see our country helped, by more people being saved, baptized, and discipled. Pray for the national sins of America. And this is something that's on my list. I have a list of things, you know, about abortion. And, you know, I'd love to see abortion, you know, it'd be illegal for abortion to happen in America. But I pray for the hearts to be turned back to God, the hearts to be turned to the children, that they would not mercilessly killing babies. I pray about homosexuality and the sin of homosexuality, and the deficit we have and the problems that we have and all those different things. Once again, as you develop your prayer list, these are things you can pray for your country about. Another thing is, and I think this one's important that we might miss sometimes, is pray for the lost. You know, Brother Jim mentioned, you know, 7 or 8 names today. Mr. Bill talks about evangelistic things. But we should be praying for those lost. Miss Linda mentions unsaved family members. We should have a list of people that were the lost people that do not know Christ, that we're praying that they get saved. And as we pray for that, we're making ourselves available for when we see that person, you know what, our heart's already ready. We're going to be ready to speak to that person about their salvation because we've been praying for them day after day after day. And praying for the lost. Now, not only for people that we know, I think it's also important to pray for our missionaries, and that God would use us to be a missionary. Another thing I have on that prayer list is pray for unreached people groups. You know, you say, well, I can't pray for every unreached people group. You know, you can. They have a special unreached people group every single day on the different websites. People that, what's an unreached people group? Someone that has less than 2% of people that would know Christ or know anything about God. Many of them don't even have the scriptures in their language. Unreached people group. And I have a calendar up my office. You can flip it daily. There's 365 different unreached people groups. You can pray for continents. There's 7 continents, if I remember correctly. You can pray for one a day. And he said, well, if you pray for America every day, that way you can make it, that's one every day of the week. Pray for those that do not have a copy of the Word of God in their languages, that God would somehow send the Word of God there, and that God would somehow send missionaries and people to write that, you know, to interpret that, or whatever you call it, to be able to take it and make it to where it's in their language. And we have some missionaries that do that. These are things we could be praying for. These are things that we can bring to the Lord in prayer. These are needs. And what it does, it changes us. It makes us sensitive for when bearing precious seed comes, and we're like, I've been praying somebody would do that. When you hear the artisans come, they talk about them not having a written language and them writing down a language, your hearts are stirred about that, because we've been praying for that. God's answered that prayer. God's sending somebody. Praise the Lord. Last but not least, on my intercessing or interceding list, I have a spot for how to pray for special needs. And I'm not talking about special need children, and I know some people have that, but we all have things in our lives that are really, really difficult situations. And I have on my list, I have probably 6 or 7 things on that list that, you know, could be a church member, it could be a relationship, it could be a financial need, it could be all these different things, but they are special things. Once again, we're praying for other people first. The next thing, stop number 7, is when we do petitions. That's for us. That's when we're talking about coming to God, but we should go to others first. And these special needs are really, really difficult cases. Really, really difficult things that, man, my relationship here is really bad with this individual. And God, I've tried to mend it, and God, I need you to intercede. And the cool thing about this special needs list is that this list has grown and gotten smaller over the years. And when God answers the prayer, you put down a date, and you can go back and you remember and say, God helped it here. You know, I didn't think God was ever going to make this work here. I could not see the end. I don't know how God could take that and make that work together for good. There's been times in my life when I've looked at that list and say, Lord, I really need to do something about this. If we don't get this answered, I'm going to have to do something I don't want to do, and the Lord make that happen. And that, and once again, it's taken time, and not like I'm trying to tell God what to do, but things, sometimes you got to go to Lord, I'm at a situation here. And sometimes it's a family member, and I've seen that prayer answered. Sometimes it's a church member, and I've seen that prayer answered. Sometimes it's extended things outside the church that I've seen answered. Sometimes God has taken people out of the church, or God has taken this or that. Things that happen, God has moved in special ways. But it's important that you, as you get these prayers answered, that you have an answered prayer list too. God help me here. Remember a time in your life when you felt like everything was going awry and that nothing was going right? You didn't think you were going to make it to the next day. I've been there, and maybe you haven't. I don't know how I'm going to make it next week. I don't know how I'm going to make it next year. Don't know how I'm going to continue on pastoring with things that are going on like this or like that. And, you know, I don't know how, but, you know, you look back a year later, 2 years later, 3 years later, you know what? God helped us. And God worked through it, and that's important to keep those lists and updated. You can keep it on your tablet, you can keep it on your computer, you can keep a handwritten copy, whatever it is. But prayer lists are important. And when we come to intercession, the reason why we spent the whole time tonight is to try to help you begin to develop a prayer list, because if you have something to go by, it's going to help you. If you don't have anything to go by, unless you're very, very disciplined, you're not going to do it. So that's the reason why we spend all this time. I want to encourage you, get on the battlefield and pray for individuals. We went through this list tonight. Is there something in there that you need to put on your prayer list? You say, Pastor, you're not the one to decide what I pray for. I don't. That's what the watching is. You want to make sure that you're spiritually alert and that you're spirit-led. And I've had somebody tell me, you got a pastor's heart. That's why you think you should pray for your church family. I agree. I think I should. But how much more should you pray for me than I should be praying for you? If there's 100 of you and there's 1 of me, I should get 100 times more prayer, right? So, and I'm not just saying that, but I covet your prayers. I desire your prayers. And I think we should pray for one another. And one other little suggestion, and we'll stop here. Have a piece of paper next to you. And as the Lord is leading you and guiding you, then write it down. So what do you mean? I can't go through my prayer list without finding something that I should do. You know, whether it be send a text to so-and-so, whether it be make a phone call. As I was going down the list today, I saw somebody on my list, and I said, you know, we need to contact them, check on them. And, you know, it's the Spirit of God leads you. Well, this is something you could do. Now, that could be the devil trying to distract you. So that's why I said you have a little piece of paper, just jot it down. Don't do it right that second, because you're in your time of communing with the Lord. But the Lord's speaking to your heart about something. You know, write it down. Hey, I need to contact this person. Hey, I need to do this. And sometimes there are things that are very serious that I need to remember, that I have forgotten, that I get reminded of during my prayer time, that I write down, but I don't do it right then because why? I'm watching. I'm going to try to be spiritually alert. Spiritually alert that I'm being spirit-led, but also that there's an enemy out there that's going to try to distract me. Say, Pastor, why are you making such a big deal out of the prayer time? Because I know it's one of the things I've struggled with most in my life. And I know it's something that is a continually developing thing, that you can grow closer and closer to God, and God will hear and answer your prayers. Do you pray? It's something we can all do. Do you consistently pray? Effectual, fervent. Do you pray fervently? Of a righteous man, are you righteous? It will change your life. Learn how to pray. Ask the Lord to help you. Be spiritually led. And intercede on behalf. You can do more by praying for someone than anything else in your world. It's like the heavy lifting that anyone can do. And then as the Lord leads you, you can go witness to that person. And I think that's a good thing. As the Lord leads you, you can contact that person. As the Lord leads you, you can help all those different things. Do you pray? Because if you don't pray, I bet you everything else on the list you're struggling with too. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed. We're going to have a short time of prayer during this time. Maybe a good opportunity for you, whether at the altar or at your seat, ask the Lord to help you about who you should be praying for. Maybe God's convicted your heart about you should be praying more for your family, or for your church family, or for your country, or for the lost. And when's the last time we prayed for those that were Muslims, that were blinded by false religion? Millions and billions that are dying without Christ. Let's ask God to give us a heart for the things he loves. That's what prayer will help us do. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for tonight, and I thank you for the kindness and patience of my church family. And I pray that inside this study, that you work on the hearts of the people as you've worked on mine. I see the importance of this meeting with you, and that every day it should be something that I desire to meet with you, and I desire to spend time with you, and it becomes a priority. I know that many of us are very, very busy. But Lord, we're not going to grow as a Christian without praying. We're not going to make the difference that you desire for us to make without praying. And I pray as they consider the few things that we went over that can help develop a prayer list, that it will, some of those things will stick. Some of those things will help them begin to develop their own prayer lists.